This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. But today's episode, we are recognizing World Sleep Day, which is happening on Friday. And this year's theme is sleep well, live better. Very inspirational, I guess. When we think often about health, and I've spoken about various subjects on this issue of health, I think like at the top of our heads, often we think nutrition, we think exercise. But to be honest, one of the pillars of good health that is exceptionally important. And I think often one of the things where we easily sacrifice on without even realizing is sleep. And sleep is, I know, not just the feeling of feeling rested. It plays a very crucial role in our physical health, our mental well-being, our emotional regulation, learning, and even how we show up as parents. Okay. And all these things, not just applicable, please remember that that tiny human is also a human. So those things also are important for your children in the end of the day. When sleep is disrupted, which often is the case, or unfortunately, when you become a parent, the ripple effect can be felt across the entire family in the end of the day. So today we're looking at sleep as a pillar of family health, not only for our children, but also for us as parents. And helping me talk about this, not that I need help, I feel, in this topic. I can talk about sleep all the time. I am joined by sleep health coach and insomnia specialist, Jan Daniel Eyff. Hello, Jan Daniel. How are you today?
Lekker, dankie, Yolandi. It's nice to be back. Thank you for the invitation.
No, when I'm thinking sleep, I always, you are one of the people I think about.
Thank you. Yeah. So, thank you, Yolandi.
And I know that you are just as excited and passionate about this topic as me. So yes, I'm glad to get into it. But let's start with the bigger picture of things. And talk about why sleep is considered one of the most important pillars of health, alongside nutrition and exercise.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think sleep is not a pillar of health. It's the foundation of health. If you talk about
yeah,
it's for the foundation, because sleep is obviously when the body does its most important maintenance work, where the brain clears all the metabolic waste, memories are consolidated, our hormones are regulated, and also our immune system is strengthened. And if you think about it, if you consistently sleep poorly, this increases the risk of heart diseases, diabetes, depression, and all the typical, what we call metabolic health conditions. You know, your typical long-term illnesses, obesity, cognitive decline. So in other words, good nutrition and exercise cannot fully compensate for chronic sleep deprivation. That's why I say it's the foundation.
No.
Where eat is the one part of the triangle, or healthy eating and exercise on the other part of the health triangle, but at the bottom is sleep or sleep health.
Yeah, and I mean, I completely agree with you, and I can see that also while I'm exercising and how important it is to recover in the end of the day as well, when you're exercising. And like you said, I mean, it's more often than not when I'm not sleeping well or something, that's when the snacking and those type of things kind of sneak in a little bit, which is also allowed, just not all the time. But yes, I love that, the foundation. I couldn't agree more, obviously, that I feel that it is the foundation of good sleep. The theme for World Sleep Day this year is sleep well, live better. What does that actually mean in practical terms?
Exactly what we are speaking about. It means that sleep quality directly affects on how we function during the day. When we sleep well, we think more clearly, we regulate our emotions better, and we have more energy and make healthier decisions. So good sleep improves productivity, our mood, our relationships, and also our long-term health. So sleeping well isn't a luxury, Yolandi. It's the foundation, what I said, for living well, for living productively, for living with, you know, with passion and all of that. Without me getting too philosophical.
I understand that, but I mean, we know in reality what is going on in society. And I mean, so it's more often than not that I feel people have this badge of honor that they have, who's like, oh, I could get along with like 5 hours of sleep or sleeping less. And people kind of, yeah, I think people brag about less sleep. Why has sleep become, or sleep sacrificing become so normal for us?
It's basically modern culture. Modern culture tends to reward productivity and in business. So you get the business bosses, the business people who say, you know, they celebrate the guy who's in the office at 6 o'clock in the morning and leaves at 10 at night, for instance, you know. So that is still celebrated. And in addition to that, people often see sleep as unproductive time, and they couldn't be more wrong. You know, sleep is definitely not unproductive. It's not a waste of time. The other issue is why we sacrifice sleep so easily is because of technology. Technology also keeps us connected 24 hours a day. Our work, our social media, our entertainment all compete with sleep. So the problem is that the body still requires roughly about 6, 7, or 8 hours of sleep for optimal functioning, regardless of our lifestyle. So we take sleep time away if we need to do something more important. If you think about young doctors who work in a hospital in their internship year, those guys work 36 hours a day, and they need to make important decisions. You know, many accidents have happened because of sleep deprivation or fatigue, aircraft accidents, even space accidents have, you know, accidents in space happen because due to fatigue. So yeah, that is it.
I've literally, like, for the last 2 or 3 nights, I'm telling my husband, because he was away for work, and I was actually telling him that he brought his bad sleeping luck to back home from his business trip, because our alarm has gone off. I don't know for what reason. We're trying to establish what this reason is for the last 3 nights, like at 11:30 approximately. And I just feel like the last 3 days, just from that stupid waking up once, like, it completely derailed me. I feel a little bit tired. I feel a little bit tender at this point. And that's when I really realize how important sleep is in the end of the day.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And today, specifically, we're recognizing your World Sleep Day, which is on Friday. Sleep better, or sleep well, live better, is the theme for this year. And wanting to tie this in a little bit with parenting in the end of the day, and the importance of sleep as a parent, and our overall family health, I feel, as well. Because often we do go through these phases of sleeping worse as a parent, which I don't think there's much you can do in the beginning, but eventually, luckily, there is people like me that can help to make sure that you are sleeping better. But it can have a serious impact on your well-being. Helping me talk about this topic today is sleep health coach and insomnia specialist Jan Daniel Ace. As always, I do want you to be part of this conversation. So if you have any questions or comments that you want to be, how are you sleeping? Are you sleeping well? Do you have things like a child or a snoring husband or alarms going off in the middle of the night that's disrupting your sleep? Share with me some of your thoughts. You can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. We would love to hear your comments on this topic. JD, so yes, maybe you can explain a little bit, what actually happens with the brain and the body? Because you've now said it's really important for our well-being and whatever, but what actually does happen in our brain? Because I feel like sometimes people think we're just dead because we're not moving.
good sleep impacts our body and brain. So sleep happens in different cycles. I can carry on about a day about this, but in short, we've got two main sleep states, types of sleep. We've got REM sleep, okay? And then we have non-REM sleep. And in non-REM sleep, we have three stages. The third stage, or what we call slow wave sleep or deep sleep, is the most important one. Okay, so we just hold that thought. I just want to say something quickly. We spend comparatively, ironically, very little, or not very little, but smaller amounts of time in REM sleep and deep sleep, stage three deep sleep, slow wave sleep. The rest of the time, the most majority of the time, we spend in stage two sleep. But to answer your question, during our deep sleep, our body repairs tissues and strengthens the immune system, and it also releases the growth hormone. That's why it's so important for children to sleep more than adults. That's the reason. During REM sleep again, okay, so deep sleep is physiological, our bodies and our organs. During REM sleep, the brain processes emotions and it consolidates our memories. But at the same time, the brain's lymphatic system clears waste products that build up during the day. And ironically, one of those waste products is our own natural sleeping pill called adenosine. So adenosine makes us sleepy, okay, sleepy. And then when we sleep, our lymphatic system then clears that adenosine away. And that's what happens. Magic.
It is. I mean, I often when I explain to parents often about especially with toddlers, because that's what happens. It's complicated, I feel, sleep.
But the irony is, or the ironic thing is, these things happens automatically if our sleep is
healthy. Yes, it's a natural thing. It's not something, it shouldn't be complicated.
It's like digestion. We don't think about the food digestion. It just happens. Boom. And it's the same with sleep. All that we have to do is we have to build an environment where we can fall asleep naturally, both in our brains, in our lives, and in our, living.
Yeah. No, but what I wanted to say is that I sometimes think, especially toddler parents, overcomplicate that sleeping type of thing.
Exactly.
Because again, also, if I now think about sleep, if I close my eyes now, I'm not going to fall asleep. But miraculously, like you said, with the right timing and the right environment, I do fall asleep when I close my eyes at night. And often parents don't understand when they're telling their child, their toddler, you need to sleep, what kind of pressure it can put on them, because they don't feel they're in control of that sleeping part. And that's why I often say to parents, they need to focus not on the sleep part, but on the things that a child can control. Staying in your bed, closing your eyes, and staying there until the sun comes up. And those are things children can do. But anyway, on a side note, that's on a side note of toddler sleep. But yes, it's one thing like sleep. I think sleep, like I said, even though it's natural, it doesn't always come naturally to us. But what is some of the signs that someone is not getting the right amount or a good quality? What is enough sleep and what is good sleep?
Very easy question to answer is how we feel in the morning. So some common signs is waking up and feeling unrefreshed. Okay, needing large amounts of caffeine to function, for instance, struggling to concentrate or memorize things, irritability, emotional depression sometimes, and falling asleep quickly will then cure it. Sometimes people struggle to fall asleep as well. Other things, if we don't feel or unrefreshed sleep, is when we snore or stop breathing, or we struggle to fall asleep, as I said earlier. Also, frequent nighttime awakenings. If we wake up too many times, and I'm talking about if we are awake for about 30 minutes or longer during the night, it may indicate that there's underlying sleep disorders. But basically, Yolandi, the bottom line is, how do we feel in the morning? No. If we sleep our normal sleep hours, 6 to 8 hours, how do we feel?
No.
That's the question. Or that's the answer.
No. I have to say, like, now I'm going to ask the question, because I literally, and I'm going to say it straight out, is when I'm in PMS, I have a week of crap sleep where I have that, where you were just now mentioning, like 30 minutes. Sometimes I'm awake for like an hour in the middle of the night, and I'm like, I don't have that all the time though. Mm. Do I have a sleep problem?
No. That's it. And that's important to remember. Every one of us, from babies to adults, from females to males, we all have bad nights. It's like having the flu.
Yeah. Okay?
It happens to us all. Here's the important thing. We must not allow it to get to us and start to get anxious about it.
Yeah.
We just live through, and don't try to sleep if you're having a difficult night. Don't try to sleep. If you try to... Does it make sense?
What am I? Yes, I'm like so consciously lying there thinking.
If you are awake, you are awake. If you try to sleep, you activate your flight or fight response, your sympathetic nervous system. And that's what I mean with creating an environment. You're not creating an environment to fall asleep naturally. You can expect, obviously, Yolandi, here's the thing. We know the next day is going to be difficult, and we're going to feel sleepy and tired and fatigued and whatever. We know that. We can't do any. It doesn't help fighting it. If we fight it, we're going to sleep less.
So, but I mean, what do I then, if I now wake up like last night at 2 a.m. and you're telling me I should then just get up and think about sleeping?
Okay. All right. Okay. And this is what we're doing. Just turn around and close your eyes and think about nice things.
That's usually what I do. But sometimes the nice things, like,
sometimes it doesn't happen. Exactly. So then we call it conditioned arousal. What you're talking about is conditioned arousal. And I can talk for hours on this again. Basically, what we do in therapy with people with insomnia, and Yolandi, you don't have insomnia. Okay? You don't have insomnia.
Because it doesn't happen all the time.
So just allow your brain and body to be awake. Preferably, get out of bed. It's ironic, I know. I know it's ironic, but we need to stop complicating things. If we stay in bed and struggle to sleep, we activate or we build a system that we call conditioned arousal. And what it basically means is, in the medium to long term, our brains then associate our beds as a place where we struggle to sleep and not as a place to sleep. It's based on Ivan Pavlov's theory of classical conditioning, okay? So preferably we get out of bed, we go to what we call a cozy nest, and we just sit there with minimal light, and maybe read a bit, or think about nice things, or pray a bit, or some people even watch TV. I haven't got a big problem with that, you know, but something boring, you know, or just scrolling through your phone or whatever. I know the blue light and stuff, and there's a big thing about that. But we need to just allow ours. That's we are awake. You can't force yourself to go back to sleep.
But I do have to say, like, even just you saying that to me, that it's not something to worry about, already makes me feel better about it.
Exactly. It's not something to worry about. We just, it's like a blocked nose when we have the flu. It's like body ache when we have the flu. It's just, we just got to, you know, not accept it to a certain extent, but you know what I'm talking about. If it makes sense.
If you just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we're talking parenting, and more specifically, though, we are talking about sleep today, in recognition of World Sleep Day, which is happening on Friday, and talking about how important it is. And I do feel that there, maybe it's because of me and JD, maybe because of what we do, but I do feel there is a slight better movement towards sleep and the awareness of how important sleep is.
I agree. We see it in practice as well.
Yeah, as that people are aware of how important it is. And I think there's lots of things, you know, there's this whole movement of young people who don't drink alcohol anymore, which is also a horrible thing for your sleep, to be honest. So it might help for those type of things. But yes, it is such an important topic. If you've missed it so far, don't despair, because this show and all of my shows are available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to afterwards. We have such a wide variety of podcasts available now and various topics on parenting. Literally, you can almost be like, my child has reflux, and then you can go listen to a podcast on it. My child is struggling to sleep, and you can go listen to a podcast on it. There is so many different topics. So please do go have a listen. And if there's something specific that I haven't covered, hey, why don't you send me a message? You can DM me, I'm Yolandi.Becker on Instagram, or you can send an email to info@highfm.com. They will forward it to me, so you don't have to worry about that. My guest joining me today is a sleep specialist. JD Ace is joining me. And JD, another thing that I also want to know, because again, now you've mentioned, like, I don't have insomnia. That luckily I know that because it's not something that happens every single night that I'm lying awake. And it's also, I do have to just say that, I don't have insomnia and it doesn't happen all the time, but my sleep is really good and it happens at a specific time. But what's the difference between just being tired and then being sleep deprived?
I understand. See, feeling tired is fatigue. So feeling tired or feeling fatigue usually means that we are mentally and physically fatigued. Like after you ran the comrades, you will probably feel mentally and physically fatigued.
But JD, I wasn't yet ready to tell people that's
okay. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Yolandi, but now you're gonna have lots of support. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so anyways, moving on. We're feeling mentally and physically fatigued, but our body still had adequate sleep. Okay. Yeah. Sleep deprivation is a bit different. It means that our brains has not had the amount of quality sleep it biologically needs. With sleep deprivation, we then see reduced cognitive performance, slower reaction times, and impaired decision-making. Also, emotional changes, you know, irritability, sadness, depression, and stuff like that.
And I mean, that's
the difference between the two.
It's like, you know, men don't really understand, because again, now I'm like thinking PMS, not sleeping well, I'm already a little bit emotional, this is amplified by the lack of sleep, I'm screwed.
No, but that's the thing though. Yolandi, we just got to accept it. That's how we, I can carry on. We call that belief systems. We call that belief systems, a negative belief system. You may be a hammer, but you're not screwed.
You know? Someone had a very, because you said that sleep is the pillar of good health. And someone made the comment on WhatsApp. Sleep is the pillow of health.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
I like that a lot. But yes, let's get a little bit more to how we can practically help people to kind of better their sleep. And I mean, I don't think it's, you know, in some ways, I always feel when I say these things, and maybe it's because I've said it so many times, but I mean, it's like, if you want to lose weight, don't eat McDonald's. If you want to be healthier, you need to exercise. I don't think this is rocket science, often the things that we're talking about. But I mean, this specifically, I want to talk about parents, because there is a phase where you go through with raising young children where you're not sleeping well. But how can parents protect their own sleep? Especially when they have young children.
Okay. You're the expert here.
I'm the baby expert, not the parent.
Okay, so parents should try to sleep when the child sleeps. I know it's sometimes impractical, but it is a fact that they will struggle to sleep. My daughter is becoming a mother within the next month or so. So that's she says she's ready for it and what have you. The bottom line is the parents should try to sleep when the child sleeps.
Mm.
Okay, they should also share nighttime responsibility between mom and dad and so on. Single parents are specifically, obviously, then a challenge. They need to prioritize sleep over non-essential activities during periods of intense sleep deprivation. Even a short daytime nap can help you reduce accumulated sleep debt. Even if you take a short nap, naps during the day will help. It's also important, Yolandi, to keep a consistent bedtime routine for both the baby or the child and the parents. Consistent bedtime routines. Routine is underrated. It's very important, you know.
No, definitely. And I mean,
Live through the challenge. I mean, it's what I said earlier. It is a difficult time. Accept it. Don't fight it.
No. And more often than not, I also feel that that's the thing is that your parents, it's a phase. It's a season. You're not going to not sleep forever. That you have to keep in mind. There is a time where your child is going to sleep better. Mm.
On the other hand, remember, you are going to be fatigued. You are going to be emotional. Accept it and get help, you know, in terms of your family members, your support system, and so on. And then also, if you're going to be sleep deprived, take an extra coffee if you need to, you know, or something similar. You know, just think logical about this.
Yeah.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, if you just joined me, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. You've missed the show. Most of the show is over. luckily for you, it is available as a podcast for you to go listen to. Today we spoke about sleep and how important it is for our family and how important it is to prioritize it for your family, because it can have a huge impact on your family's well-being, the way you sleep. JD, before you go and say goodbye to us, I would like you to kind of maybe say like three things quickly before you go that people can implement that would change their sleep tonight. That's too much pressure.
First of all, keep a consistent sleep schedule, okay? Yeah. Go to bed when you wake up, or go to bed at a certain time and wake up at a certain time. Okay, I can carry on about this, but that's secondly, create like something like what we call a wind down time, about an hour before bedtime. Switch the lights off, switch the computer off, and so on. Okay, and just be dark in that environment to allow the melatonin release, to allow your body to accept sleep. Thirdly, make the bedroom as sleep friendly as possible. Okay, dark, cool, quiet, and that's about it.
Great.
I'm not talking about insomniacs now. I'm not talking about people with sleep problems. I'm talking about just to improve your sleep. These things don't necessarily help for insomniacs.
But in the end of the day, JD, if they do have problems with sleep, of course, they can contact you. What is your website details? Where can people find you?
Thank you. My website is www, obviously, and then Arkel, A, that's spelled A for Apple, R-K-E-L, Sleep Clinic, all one word, .co.za.
Great. JD, it was, as always, great having you. Thank you for recognizing World Sleep Day with me today. And, yeah, have a good day.
Thank you. You too, Yolandi.
Thanks,
everybody.
On that note, I'm now joined by Lizelle Fourie, who is the Clinic Regional Manager for Dischem. Hi, Lizelle. How are you?
Hi, Yolandi. Good, and you? Thank you so much for having me today.
No, I'm very excited. In the place of ads, so I'm excited to be able to talk to you on a weekly basis now.
Yes, me too.
So, Lizelle, I know that there is lots of things at Dischem and at Baby City Clinics and products at Baby City where people can find things to help with sleep. What is, before I say my favorites, I would like to know some of your favorites.
No problem. So obviously I have a baby as well. I can't call her a baby anymore. She's 2 years old now. And I must be honest, I thought I would know everything because I'm a nurse. And then it all just slips away when you have your own little one. but the things that I love the most and that I do think makes a huge difference, because when you have that little person, you're very paranoid about, you know, you hear about SIDS and suffocation and you're so worried. I remember I went into a room probably 10 times a night just to see if she's breathing. So it really helps if you have safe sleep techniques and products to help you. So the biggest thing is that they have to sleep on their back, on a firm mattress and in an empty cot. I know the biggest dream of mothers is to make that cot as beautiful as I possibly can with cot bumpers and all of that. But unfortunately, it's not safe sleeping. One of the biggest things that's out now and has been for a while that really works well is a sleep sack, which I also liked a lot. Or they call them wearable blankets, because my little one was born in the winter. So obviously you feel you need to keep them warm. But you're also scared of loose blankets, and you should be, because they have a really high risk. And even the fitted sheet must be a tight fitted sheet so that when they move, it doesn't curl up and, you know, can get over their face. The other thing that really blew my mind is we sleep on pillows. So you feel a baby should also have a little pillow, but unfortunately that's also a risk, and they don't enjoy it. They want, even if you put it there, they will wiggle themselves down.
They don't stay on it.
They really just want to lie flat and firm. And then definitely the sleep sacks help a lot, because it still keeps them warm. It regulates their body temperature because they can't, but it is safe, which I really enjoyed. Yes.
For me, a sleep sack is definitely the number one thing. If you're going to want to improve your child's sleep and ensure that they're safe, like you said, a sleeping sack is for me. Also, it's a great gift for like a baby shower or something like that, because it is something that every parent needs. And you, like I said, a great variety at Baby City is available. Ones that are vetted and that you can go look at, because it is important to get a proper safe one as well. So it is a wonderful must-have product. Just on the note, when it comes to sleep, I'm obsessed with safety. And like I said, you need to keep the cot clear. And we have all these ideas. You have to remember, once you move the cot to the lowest level, in essence, the cot becomes a little bit like a tent. It's an enclosed space. There's a reason why there's holes in a mattress, of the baby mattress. There's a reason why there's slants in the baby, the sides of the baby cot. It is to improve airflow. And things like a blanket over the mattress or a cot bumper inhibits that airflow and can lead to carbon dioxide building up at the bottom of the cot, which can lead to SIDS. So it is important to keep the space clear for that reason. Okay, just to help everyone know, Lizelle, I am looking forward, because now I know you're a mom as well.
Yes.
You every week. Thank you so much for joining me. It was lovely meeting you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Lundy. You too.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and you've missed my show. Another show has come to an end. Luckily for you, this show and all of my shows and all of the shows on Chai FM are available as a podcast for you to go listen to. There's so many wonderful things where you at, wherever you are, you can go listen to things. So please go and have a look at our library. It's been a wonderful show as I've been recognizing World Sleep Day that's happening on Friday. So sleep truly is such a powerful pillar or pillow of health, not only for our children, but for us as parents too. To everyone listening, as always, please remember that parenting is filled with different seasons, and there will be a season where you're not going to sleep so great. It's not always something that you're doing wrong. Take what you need from today's conversation. Leave what you don't. Every family is unique, and what matters most is finding what works for you and your little ones. Okay. In the spirit of World Sleep Day and the theme of sleep well and live better, perhaps today is a good moment to pause. To think about how we can support better sleep in our homes, even through small changes. Thank you for joining me today. Until next time, go out there, trust your instincts, be kind to yourself, and more importantly, go out there and be kind to others.